The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the oak that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be the fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
This is it. Christmas is here. The thing we have been preparing for has arrived. As you well know, I love the season of Advent. I enjoy the opportunity to spend more time praying, reading the Bible, reflecting and contemplating. Unfortunately, this year I have been unable to follow my usual pattern of preparation. Things have been rather busy. As many of you are aware, I began studying to become a licensed lay minister in September and have been juggling those studies with family life alongside additional responsibilities at work. It is work that has been dominating my life recently. Not the general chaos that is teaching, Christmas productions, parties, end of term assessments and data drops that are a regular part of school life, but my wonderful and much loved head teacher is retiring at the end of the term. Now officially she doesn't retire until the 31st of December, but we have said goodbye to her as a staff and as a school. We knew this was coming. We heard the announcements. We had seen all the signs. We've had the party, sang the songs, read the poems, prayed the prayers, and yet I still can't quite believe that it has happened. What has this got to do with Christmas, I hear you say? Well, I found myself acknowledging the signs, yet ignoring the reality. This made me think of all those Jewish people over the years, those waiting for the coming of the Messiah, who had heard the prophecies. Isaiah, our first reading this evening, was one of many prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah. These prophecies were well known by the Jewish people. Some had seen the signs. Some were even visited by angels and told what had happened. Despite all the evidence and signposting, people were yet to believe. How often in life have we experienced a longed-for event, a birth, marriage, holiday, or Christmas Day, only to be met with a sense of anticlimax rather than the joy and elation that we were expecting? Everything has changed, yet everything remains the same. We continue living our life. Outwardly, nothing has changed. Inwardly, everything has changed. Knowing that something is coming, preparing for it, acknowledging it, is very different from accepting it. This is how I felt about the retirement of my head teacher. I've known it was likely to happen. If I'm being honest, I was expecting her to have retired last summer. But the reality of something expected, anticipated, actually happening is very different. I wonder if this moment of pause, hiatus, that I am now feeling might be similar to the feeling that those who were around for the birth of Jesus may have felt. That longed-for event is finally here. The prophecies are fulfilled. Everything is supposed to be different, and yet it all feels very much the same. Outwardly, a child has been born. Inwardly, the whole of creation has changed. But what happens next? How do we move forward? We have been preparing for the birth of Jesus these past weeks of Advent, preparing for an event that happened over 2,000 years ago. We know the story. We know what happens next. Or do we? As we travel through life, we change our understanding, have experiences that alter our viewpoint. In looking at the Bible again through these new lenses of experience, we are able to encounter Jesus again, afresh and renewed. Jesus is the living God, eternally active, actively present, not a historical figure. Alongside the preparations for Christmas, I've also been looking forward to the conclusion of a television series that first aired in 2016. Stranger Things has been described as a combination of horror, science fiction, mystery, fantasy, and coming-of-age drama. It may or may not be your cup of tea, but it certainly has a large following. The final series began on Thanksgiving with Volume 1 being released. Volume 2 will be released on Christmas Day, and the finale will be released on New Year's Eve. After watching the first volume, released just before Advent, I have felt the need to re-watch the previous seasons because different questions have been raised, different clues given, different understandings provided. Each Advent, we are gifted the opportunity to re-watch the events unfolding, looking forward to favourite readings and hymns, discovering new understandings and connections along the way. With the Christmas story, most of us have been encountering this, listening to these readings year after year. We have the opportunity to go back to the beginning, to experience who Jesus was and is afresh. Our lives are constantly changing, as is our relationship with God through Jesus. Different seasons of life can highlight different experiences within the Christmas story. For example, the Christmas after we had our eldest son, the thing that stayed with me was how vulnerable Jesus was as a newborn baby, and how physically and emotionally exhausting it must have been to have had the child away from familiar surroundings. The thing that has struck me this year is how physically far Mary and Joseph had to travel. I'll be honest, I hadn't thought much about it beforehand, other than it was a long way. I've discovered that the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem is, according to the reliable sources of the internet, a journey of over 90 miles. Whether it was undertaken on foot or by donkey, the journey was hard, with rough terrain, and how harsh the conditions would have been. Even fit and able people would have found this journey challenging. Putting myself in Mary's position, I would not have enjoyed the journey at all, regardless of the stage of pregnancy. I remember travelling whilst pregnant back from a day out with my husband when our cab hit a pothole in the road. Cramps and uncomfortable tightening prevented me from getting any sleep that night. So I cannot imagine what it might have been like travelling over rough terrain by foot or on donkey. So how can we encounter Christ anew? How can we rediscover who Christ is to us? Different representations through paintings, billboard adverts, television, film, rewritings of the Gospels, different translations of the Bible enable us to ask the question, who is Jesus to me? Jesus is here with us in every encounter where we show love or have love shown to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Artists have sought to represent Jesus and his birth in different ways, as did the gospel writers. In searching for God, we find who Jesus is to us. God with us, Emmanuel. Walking alongside, experiencing life in all its richness, in its difficulties, in its joy, and in its sorrow. This year, my new discovery of the Christmas story concerns Jesus laid in a manger. I've been considering what material the manger that Jesus was placed in was made from. Often, the manger has been depicted as a wooden feeding trough. Until this year, that is what I had always thought, without question. It is in keeping with the cozy, stable image often depicted on Christmas cards, depicted behind me today. However, I have read recently that the manger may have been made from stone. Apparently, stone or rock mangers were more commonplace owing to their longevity and the scarcity of wood for such purposes. The manger has been mentioned 3 different times in the story of Jesus' birth. In the Gospel reading from Luke, it doesn't mention what type of building Jesus was born in, but it does mention the manger. In chapter 3, the Gospel writer mentions the manger in verses 7, 12, and 16. Archaeologists have determined that animal troughs were carved out of Israel's white limestone. These troughs did not hold food, but water. There was plenty of grass for domestic animals to graze upon the rocky hills of Judea throughout the year, which is why the shepherds were on the hills. The manger that the shepherds were told to search for Jesus in would have therefore made more sense to them to have contained water. Water, that everyday, ordinary thing, vital for life. Jesus is known as living water, so how apt for him to have been laid in a place whose sole purpose was to provide water. Water represents life, cleansing, spiritual renewal, and salvation. Through the water of baptism, we die to sin and are risen to new and everlasting life. The word manger comes from the Latin word manducare, which means to eat. Jesus being laid in the manger, a place that we might associate with feeding animals, foreshadows his role as providing spiritual nourishment. As we eat together at his table this evening, I hope we can bring to mind the symbolism of his earliest moments, vulnerable and tiny, yet providing spiritual sustenance to us all. Laying the newborn Jesus in the stone manger connects his birth to his death, to his lying in the stone tomb. On both occasions, he was wrapped in cloths, surrounded by women who loved and cared for him. At the beginning and the end of his life, he was laid with love onto cold, hard stone. This world can seem very hard and cold at times. So what can we do this year if the world seems a little tough, scary, and unfair? Think about how we can continue to encounter Jesus through everyday objects. A simple stone manger was magnificent enough to hold the Son of God. If our Christmas doesn't sparkle the way we think it should, if we've been waiting or longing for something to happen, and we feel a little flat afterwards, if we are disappointed, or if it doesn't live up to our expectations, let's remember that humble makeshift crib contained all that is needed to sustain us. Why not revisit the Bible as we do with favourite Christmas films or episodes of Stranger Things, ready to look for new insights and connections to who we are and who Jesus is to us. Finally, I urge us all to take time out from all the preparations, whether it be for Christmas, a personal life event, or the retirement of a head teacher, to acknowledge that outwardly, perhaps everything looks the same, yet inwardly, everything has changed. We can go back to the beginning and experience it again, searching for clues and discovering who Jesus is to us. Emmanuel, God with us.